Hello and welcome to Going Behind the Word for this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am the Friar and it's great to be with you on this Sunday. Today we're going to look at a couple of ideas that are common to the messages that we're hearing. The first is kind of set out for us in the book of Isaiah, where we talk about a mountain. And I want to talk about what the significance of a mountain is whenever we hear it, because mountains come up a lot in the Bible. In fact, I think it's something like it's over 500 times there are mountains mentioned in the Bible. So they were really important, and a lot of that was geographic because they were surrounded by a lot of mountains. And then the second image I want to talk about is the wedding feast. And they kind of go together because in the first reading, while there is the image of a mountain, it's a mountain where a tremendous feast is going to be prepared. So those are the two ideas that I'm hoping will help us maybe to get a little something out of the readings, and then we'll try to apply it to what this means for us today. So mountains. Mountains are just mentioned all of the time. There are so many instances of that. The temple is on a mount. There's Mount Sinai, which is a privileged place because that's where Moses received the law. There are mountain scenes of Jesus' temptation at the Mount of Olives, the Sermon on the Mount. There were a number of healings on mountains. The Transfiguration occurs on mountains. The final discourse of Jesus is on a mountain, and so too are the commissioning of the apostles. So we see mountains in a lot of ways, and they're important. And they're really, when we look at this idea of a mountain, it's really quite simple. It is, in fact, that this mountain is simply a place where God is. And it makes sense because mountains are high, they're closest to the heavens. That's where we believed that God is in the heavens. So if you're on a mountain and you're higher, it leaves that image that you're closer to the heavens. And that's really important. But whenever we hear the idea of a mountain, we're going to hear in some way this place where God dwells, where God is present in a particular way. And so that's what we hear in when we talk about mountains. And in this first reading, we hear that the Lord on a mountain is going to prepare this tremendous feast. It's going to be the best of all possible feasts. There's going to be rich, juicy foods. There's going to be choice wines. There's going to be just this tremendous, tremendous celebration that is a part of everything that is going on. Then we hear in the gospel this parable of the wedding feast. And we have to understand that weddings in those days were not much different than they are now, in the sense that they were huge opportunities for celebration. And that's not surprising. And so what would happen is, especially when we're talking about the king, so the parable makes sense if you understand that when a king was going to be married, the invitations were sent out, but there wasn't a time that was placed on these invitations. They were just simply sent out, and then they would get a secondary invitation when everything was ready. And so that's kind of what the background is here, is that this was just a way of proceeding with invitations that would have been quite familiar to the people in the time of Jesus. Then there is this idea of people being invited and not coming. And that is something that is of particular importance as well. So it has an individual meaning, which we will see in the sense that a wedding is a huge feast. Families then, as I think many families do today, they put everything they have into this great celebration of the wedding. The big, big celebration, the groom going to meet the bride, and there was a procession from the bride's house to the home of the groom, and the bride's family spent everything they could to make this a marvelous celebration in every single way. They had all kinds of things that were going on. And we do get a picture of this kind of kingdom idea, which is a kind of a changed understanding in some regards by Jesus at the feast, at the wedding feast of Cana, because there Jesus is going to have the choicest wine, which he creates from water. And he surprises everybody there because the best wine is saved for the end. And that's not what was typical. So we understand that it's a big, big, big celebration. And it's tremendous. But then the parable is trying to make a point. And the point is, firstly, that there's an invitation that gets sent for people to the kingdom of God. There was an original invitation, but that didn't work out so well. There was a secondary invitation. And that didn't work out so well. And so God continues over and over and over again to invite us again and again and again to this tremendous feast, this tremendous celebration of the kingdom of God. Like in Elijah, the celebration of celebrations. It's just beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. This feast is going to be so outstanding, so wonderful, so tremendous. But then what happens? So finally, people are invited to come, and they do come. It's a wonderful celebration. Then there is this kind of weird ending, which may in and of itself have been kind of a separate story that kind of gets put together here. But at any rate, there's this person that's not properly dressed, and out they go. And that may seem to our ears, he's gone out and invited all these people, to seem kind of rude that, you know, you invited people at the last minute and they weren't ready. But that's not exactly the way these wedding feasts would have worked. They would have sent the invitation out, and the people that were really anxious to go and preparing to go would have had their wedding garments, their robes, everything they needed for the celebration would have been at the ready, so that the moment they heard that everything was ready, they'd be able to go and they'd be properly dressed and they'd be ready for this great celebration that was going to be there. And it was seen as a respectful thing. It's not unlike the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. You know, the wise virgins were ready with their lamps there. They knew that the feast was going to be ready at some point. That's why they're waiting outside. They've gotten the invitation, but they don't know exactly when the feast is going to be ready. But then it does become ready, and they're ready to go in, whereas the foolish virgins, they are not ready to go in. And the same thing is true here, that people that were sensible and ready for this celebration would have kept their wedding robes in pristine condition. They would have not worn them. They would have had them all ready for this great celebration. But those that were careless, those who really didn't value the invitation as much, they would have worn these things all over the place and they wouldn't have been ready. They would have been dirty. And so part of what Matthew is doing here is saying that, yes, God is inviting us to great things. There is this tremendous invitation that God is giving to every single one of us. But the truth is, it's not an invitation that doesn't require anything of us. That when God invites us to embrace this new way of living, what God is encouraging us to do is that once we accept Jesus, there is a responsibility to live out of the value of this relationship, to live in a way that helps us to understand we have to do the good works of our faith. We have to be attentive to the prayer life of our faith. We have to do all of those things that we can do in order to be ready, properly attired. And the proper attire for a Christian are the good works that adorn a Christian. Paul says that in his letter to Timothy, for example, that the good works are the adornment that women should have and men should have. We'll be known by our works. So just as we may dress nicely for certain events, we will have works as that type of event and that type of place. And so as we look at those kinds of things, we have two really powerful images of God's presence. And all of these readings are beginning to help us to get to what the life of a Christian is moving toward, which is this life of the kingdom, this tremendously rich banquet to which we are all invited. But when we accept the invitation, we also have to be ready to see the presence of God wherever it will be. We won't always have a lot of time or notice for this invitation, but we always need to be ready for God, who is fully present in our lives. So hopefully you have found this little background a bit helpful on mountains and weddings and being ready and accepting the invitation. If you like it, subscribe to our podcast. You can do so wherever you listen to your podcasts, and I hope you have a great Sunday.